Adams, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
President Obama, there's got to be a morning after. Especially after a Titanic speech like the one you gave last night that's giving America a sinking feeling. Lair Adams with you on a cold, blustery winter Wednesday. But don't worry, the American Adversaries will warm up and curl your toes at Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. The message from the State of the Union, or Stink of the Onion, as I like to call it, delivered by our leader, Barry, was, "This depression brought to you by me and the Democratic Party." I couldn't tell if it was a lie-a-thon or a blame-a-thon. Oh, he's already blamed his speechwriter for the many inaccuracies. Well, friends, politics is like this. A Republican candidate and a Democratic candidate were having breakfast at a diner. The Republican candidate boasted, "I always leave the waitress a big tip and ask her to vote for me." The Democratic candidate said, "I only leave the waitress a penny, and I tell her to vote for you, too." And the Republicans fall for it every time. But not our host. He's a big tipper. His tip for the day, vote conservative, Christopher Hart.
Every day. That's right, folks. And thank you so much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for being with us on this wintry Florida day here in Central Florida. But, hey, at least we're not in Atlanta.
How cold?
Stuck in our cars.
Yeah, how cold is it supposed to get tonight?
Actually,
not freeze, right?
Not terribly cold tonight, actually. Today is the worst of it, actually, but tonight it'll get a little bit colder, but not freezing, no. And then it'll begin a slow warming trend, and next week looks like it's going to be an ideal week in terms of warm weather in the winter, if you like that. And we are AM 660 The Answer, or at least we are the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer. It is drive time out there, and I don't need to tell you, it's wet out there. It's nasty. So please, please allow yourself a little extra time to get wherever it is that you are going tonight. If you're not on the road and you don't have to go out there, might be a good night just to stay at home and slip on those pajamas and get out that hot chocolate, you know, and talk Obamacare.
And I know how much it drives you crazy, but don't scream at the idiot in the left-hand lane that's poking along about 25 miles an hour because it's raining.
And because it just might be me.
Oh.
I'm not a very fast driver anyway. All right, but yeah, by the way, did you catch in the speech last night? Obama gave himself a plug, you know, what was it, you know, go out and sign up or something like that. I mean, folks, we're going to be talking about the speech. We've got a lot to talk about. It'll be Lair and I and you, and Nostradamus is going to join us later on as well. Nick LoCicero is manning the bridge tonight, so we're in excellent hands. 407-774-8255 is the number. There is a farm bill that was passed today, and you want to talk about a sour deal, boy, sour milk. That farm bill has got stink all over it, and not because of the Democrats.
It's been going on 3 years, hasn't it?
Well, it has been held up by the conservatives in the House. Well, they have been pushed aside by old Johnny Boehner and his Democratic and Rhino buddies and have pushed through another lousy farm bill, which pays out huge subsidies, of course, at the expense of the taxpayers. They're bragging that they got $8 billion in cuts from food stamps. The only problem is we were promised that they were going to give us $40 billion.
Well, yeah, it's like
that's one-fifth.
So minimal as to what it really saves.
Yeah, we're going to get Christine Harbin Hansen from the Americans for Prosperity on with us soon as we can, and we'll go over the details of this farm bill. It's still got to pass the Senate, and of course it will, and it still has to be signed by the president, and of course he will, and the taxpayer handouts will continue. But we'll talk more about that. I want to go to talk about the last night's speech, though, more than anything else. It was Barack Obama at his best and at his worst. What I mean by his best, I mean it just really reminded me once again why we say that politics is a lot like professional wrestling. He got out there and it was nothing but bluster. It was condescending, it was patronizing, and it was full of lies.
It was a total performance. You could tell he wasn't feeling it.
Well, but he was putting on a performance. But actually, I thought he put on a pretty good performance as it goes. And how about that finishing move, what I'm calling the finishing move, where he introduced Master Sergeant
yes.
Corey Remsburg. I want to talk about that more in detail because, in my mind, I think what the president was trying to do, he was trying to send two signals, and that is, look at this fella. He represents the shape of the United States of America. Okay, all beat up and yet still won't give up, and also represents me, Barack Obama. That's how despicable the man is in my mind. He was trying to associate himself, put himself, if you will, in Corey Remsburger's shoes. Look at me. I've been all beat up.
I'm just as badly damaged.
These old nasty Republicans and the Tea Partiers and all of them, they hate me. They are racist and this and that. And I'm beat up. I'm scarred. Look at me. And yet, I still go on. They won't stop me. I roll on. I'm Barack Obama. They can't stop me. And if they get in my way, I'm going to pull out my pen and I'm going to take that to them. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Barack Obama. You were at your best last night. But unfortunately for you, that brings out the worst in you. Because you did stand there and lie. And everybody knows it. And the people who watched, we're going to find out from Nostradamus what the ratings were last night. He's been able to get his hands on those.
Well, the fact checkers have been all over this, and he just threw so much bull out
there. It was a lot of high rhetoric. I think that Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers summed it up very best in one sentence. And by the way, I'm going to get to her performance in it shortly, too, because I think that she did a tremendous job last night, and she didn't have to do much to do that, but she did do it. Tonight, she said the president made promises that sound good but won't solve the problems. Everybody is figuring that out now. You see, that's the good part of having Barack Obama as a president.
Preaching doesn't do it, does it?
All these liberal promises don't solve the problems. If anything, they make the problems worse. Now, the president stood up there for some hour and 20 minutes last night and tried on the one hand to tell us how rosy and great everything was because of Barack Obama. And yet how much more we have to do. And if only you get on the Barack Obama bandwagon. And yet everybody's out there going, now this is the same doofus that gave us Obamacare, right?
Well, the same guy that said if you want to keep your doctor or your health care, you can keep it. The same liar.
Right.
And then he throws out there, in the 5 years he's been president, he's created, or 8 million jobs have been created. When his own people came back, he said, okay, only 3.6.
And this is why I say it's the worst for Barack Obama. Because all of this that he did last night, all of that grand rhetoric stands in stark contrast to reality. And the problem with reality is it doesn't go away. It's always there. And eventually it reaches up and it grabs you by the throat and snatches you down when you get too far away from it. It brings you back to reality. It will not go away because Barack Obama stands up there and says a bunch of apart from the lies, just a bunch of basically empty words. Is all it was. Empty promises, a lot of show, as I like to say around here, all show, no go. But he put on a good performance, and of course he had a captive audience, and of course half of them were going to stand up. If the man farted, they would have stand up and cheered it.
Chris, what's going to save, he's saying that what's going to save our economy is government preschool. And how is that going to save our economy, folks?
It's not going to save anything, but it's intended simply to put more money into the union's pockets so that they can funnel it right back into the Democrats' pockets. That's the whole idea behind that, because all the studies show that all this pre-K business has no value whatsoever other than daycare. That any gains that it shows are gone entirely by the third grade. Entirely! In other words, a kid who starts with no pre-K by third grade, no longer than third grade, has already matched the kid who did all the pre-K business. Right? But yet we're going to spend all the money on that too. See, it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't make children better educated. And people are feeling that. They are seeing that with their own two eyes. And when this man stands up there and tries to paint a rosy picture, it just makes him look all that more out of touch and stupid. So he was at his best, but that, in a way, that was at his worst as well. And, of course, the condescending. And I really did not appreciate. I appreciate the applause, and I appreciate the seemingly heartfelt appreciation by most of the people in the chamber last night toward Master Sergeant Corey Rimsburg. My nephew is a Master Sergeant Ranger. So, you know, but I appreciate that, but I didn't appreciate what I thought was Barack Obama basically using all these human props. He was the last. He was the final. He was the finishing move. But he started out with
all the women in that room were his props.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, he stands up and says he has the gall to stand up and say that women should get equal pay for equal work.
Not in his White House.
When the women in his White House get about 88 cents on the dollar. And by the way, folks, I did a study on this when I was in graduate school. And I was studying women in politics. I was studying feminism and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, I went down that road. By the way, I remember the first couple of days of the class when we got the book reading assignment. There were three guys in this class and about 12 girls, right? And we got the book reading assignment. And the next day I come back to the class and I'm the only guy in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't really paid much attention to the book reading assignment. And I looked down and it was some pretty... let's just say feminists throw around the F and the P and all the nasty words quite liberally. And these other guys couldn't take it. They couldn't handle it. But anyway, lo and behold, guess who controls the most, by far, the most wealth in the world? And I'll give you a hint. It ain't men.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that means women.
Exactly. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they outlive men by a significant margin, so they end up inheriting a lot of wealth. But a lot of it has to do with men putting a lot of their wealth in their wives' names. A lot of it has to do with a lot of women have been successful. Women in control, which means they own the vast majority of wealth in the world. How much more do they want?
Chris, you raise an interesting issue, too. If women outlive men, isn't that unfair?
It showed up, what do you think, from a man's standpoint?
Shouldn't there be some type of a way to arrange it? Women owe men for that. We need to get a rebate from some of their health services towards men because we obviously don't live as long.
Or let's just...
That's not fair.
Or I got an idea. We'll just pass a law that says that a man can only marry a woman who's 15 years is older than he is. Some guys probably like that. Anyway, folks, don't go away. I know what you will like is more of the American Adversaries Drive cut time. Because we're just now getting loaded up and warmed up, and we ain't going away. Not till 6 o'clock.
Girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American Adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
All right, can't ask much more than that, I guess. Huh? Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660. The Answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. If you'd like to call up and make some comments about the speech last night, we'd love to hear them as well. I'll get back to that in a second, but I just want to remind you that we will be doing our show live here in the studio Sunday evening from 5 to 8, as usual. Now, we know the Super Bowl kicks off about 6:25, 6:30. Here's a great idea for that first half of the Super Bowl. Just turn the sound down on your TV, watch the game, listen to the American adversaries. And if you can't watch the game, we're going to give you updates during the game. Old Johnny Guns will keep us all up on the latest score and the latest times in the quarter and all that. And after the game, though, that's when the fun's really going to start for us, because Cafe Positano is having a great party that night. And get this, they are going to raffle off a 60-inch Sharp LED TV. $20 is all the tickets cost. Anything above the cost of the TV will go to the charity of the winner's choice. And they're going to have 2-for-1 domestic beer and house wine. They're going to have a lot of great deals on pizza, chicken tenders, mozzarella sticks. Of course, you can order from the menu and stuff, too. It's going to be a great time. Of course, they're going to be doing that all the evening long. We're heading up there after the show. But it'll be a lot of fun. And, of course, that'll be this Sunday. Don't want to miss it. All right, and it ought to be a pretty decent game, at least according to our friends Reg and Mike from last night.
They're only giving them 3 points, yeah. You know, one way.
You know, all that medical marijuana stuff we were talking about last night, it dawned on me after the show, and I wish I'd have thought about it during the show. Okay, the two teams that made it to the Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
One's from Seattle,
yep.
Washington. The other's from Denver,
yep.
Colorado.
Stoner states.
Two states with the most liberal marijuana laws. Who knows? Maybe they are already
the stoner states. You know what they're going to be doing during halftime.
Yeah, we know where their edge came from, right?
Okay. Wow, that's so, not smoking or steam in the shower.
I've never heard of it being described as a performance-enhancing drug, but who knows?
Well, for some things, I suppose.
All right, but anyway, back to the speech last night. I don't think it did the president very much good at all. It's very seldom that a State of the Union speech really does, unless there has been a significant event like September 11th or, say, for instance, President Obama's first State of the Union speech. As I said, Nostradamus is going to give us the ratings when he comes on in the next half hour. But Barack Obama's ratings for his State of the Union speeches have been going down steadily since his first one in 2009. By the way, Fox last night kept saying that it was his fifth State of the Union address. And I'm scratching my head and going, no, it was his sixth. And it was his sixth State of the Union address, you guys over there at Fox. He did his first one in 2009, at which time he got about 18% of the viewing audience that night. Then he did one in 2010. He got about 17%. 2011, he got about 15%. 2012, about 14%. And 2013, the fifth, last year, he got about 11%. So steadily going down. So his charm has been on the wane. You know, people have been figuring him out slowly, like we did, Lair, from the very start.
If this thing was in single digits, ooh.
Well, it would only, in my opinion, be better for Barack Obama. The fewer people saw that pile of manure last night, the better off he'd be, because that's all it was.
Well, no, I mean, some of his loyals were probably just swimming in it, Chris. They were eating it up like it's, you know, the candy of the day.
As I said, I was not impressed with what he did with Master Sergeant Corey Rimsberg. We all know what this man really thinks about the military. And to sit there and stand there and applaud the
wrap himself in the other guy's flag.
Wrap himself in the other man's wounds is really what he was doing. The whole idea for him to end the speech on that note is he wants you, when you think of President Obama's speech, to think of Corey Rimsberg. So look what you've done. You've associated Obama with Rimsberg. That's the psychological ploy the man's playing here. All right? And once again, the symbolism of it all.
Mm-hmm.
The man's all nicked up and everything. He had that fake skin or whatever it was on the side of his face. And it was quite clear the symbolism that was being played out in that situation.
That he was being used.
That exactly. As were all of the other human props that were there. The new CEO of GM Motors, the housewife who, lo and behold, found herself a job. All these were the achievements. But here Barack Obama, is associating them all with him. That's the whole point of having them there. You see? And it's a quite effective tool that was initiated, at least in the modern era, by Ronald Reagan when he pointed out that guy who jumped into the river up there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And pulled the people out after the Southwest Airlines, or one of the airlines, went in to drink. But Obama was playing it to the hilt, and in a different day, where time's different, people would just be lavishing him with praise today. But like I said, reality stands in such stark contrast to the, all that claptrap that we heard last night, that then you had Kathy McMorris Rogers. Now, I don't know who saw the response. I'm sure the ratings for the response are even less than the ratings for the president. That's what I would expect anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose of the response, and this is where I think Marco Rubio and Bobby Jindal so much blew it in the previous two occasions, was Bobby Jindal at least didn't take a drink of water, but as soon as Marco Rubio did that, it was over.
Yeah, and he knew it.
I'm sorry. It just was. That's where politics is. That's the level politics is played on. You can't do stuff like that. So, and then Bobby Jindal,
who's amateurish,
but Bobby Jindal just didn't, he tried to get too much down in the weeds. Kathy Rogers hit it out of the park, I believe, last night, because basically what she did was say, look, we Republicans aren't like what the president has been depicting us as. We're good, decent people. We have children that we love. We're just like you. We want to see you have the same opportunities that everyone has. It was, I believe, a sincere, heartfelt presentation of, if you will, the heart of conservatism, which is, in fact, the most compassionate of the two major of all the major ideologies.
Sure.
All of them. It is the truly compassionate one. And I think that she projected that quite well. And I thought it was an excellent idea to have a rather attractive woman, or at least
just had a child.
Exactly. Not one of these white Republican men with their black or blue suits and their slicked back black hair. I cannot stand that slicked back black hair. And they all got it. They all sport it. Cruz does. Scott Walker, he's one of the worst. And even Paul Ryan. Get rid of the slicked back hair guys. And you'll go somewhere in this world, okay? They don't fit in. I'm sorry. Their arguments do. Their appearances are sadly lacking. And she presented the right image last night to stand, once again, in stark contrast to this basically cold, heartless, out-of-touch black man.
Now, I didn't see her, but I did hear Michael Medved say he thought she was kind of weak, which so I'm going to take your opinion on it.
I thought he said that her presentation and the fact that it didn't have a lot of details was weak, but her being there was a good move.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think he's right about that.
Yep. Folks, we'll be right back. Do not go away.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake ML Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
You know, Ted, I've been complaining that it is impossible to get the details of the new secret Iranian nuclear deal. Well, lo and behold, even members of Congress are making the same complaint.
I know, Chris, this is actually an incredible story, because what they're doing is they're keeping it in a quote-unquote super secret location. I don't understand why we have to keep the nuclear deal in a super location. I'm just quoting that. I'm not making those names up for what that is. And a cone of silence, and this is according to the House Foreign Affairs Committee member. She is a representative from Florida. So honestly, what's happening is they have made this deal. They have inked a deal with Iran, which honestly, if you look at it, Chris, doesn't stop them from producing a nuclear bomb in a short period of time. And we can't look at it. Members of Congress can't look at it. It's just insane.
Well, that certainly didn't stop the president from bragging about it in his State of the Union address. But perhaps even more fascinating in this story SoundbiteRx.com has is that nuclear expert Gregory Jones doesn't think that the administration knows what's in their own deal.
Well, honestly, Chris, that's kind of historically what's going on with this administration. Of course, they don't know what's going on in their own deal, because as you could see from the State of the Union last night, Obama has absolutely no clue what's going on in his administration, in his country, in the world, and how the world perceives him. So it doesn't surprise me at all that somebody's coming out and saying that the United States and Obama have no idea what deal they've signed.
Well, it seems like the Iranians have a pretty good idea about it, that's for sure. Okay, folks, don't forget, you'll get all the deals, all the details in the deals. And by the way, no wonder they want to keep it secret if they don't know what's in it, right? Right, Ted? Thanks a lot. You'll get the, don't forget to take the cure for ignorance, folks, by going to soundbiterx.com and listening to the American Adversaries. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. That's right. Try to tell that president not to mess around with the truth, but doggone it, he keeps doing it anyway. All right, folks, you
what
are listening.
Truth? That's what he's thinking.
His truth, his version of it. Okay, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660. The answer, 407-774-8255 is the number. Our executive producer, Nasser Dennis, is going to join us here in just a couple of moments. But just a couple of quick reminders. Don't forget, you know, we had our man Ken in last week, and Ken Dwyer, and we talked about this winning media training seminar that they're having this Saturday. It's at the Mark Street Center downtown, right there on Mark Street in Magnolia, and it's going to be hosted by Barbara and Wade West. That's right, Barbara West from Channel 9 News right here in Orlando, formerly, and they're going to tell you folks who are in candidates, potential candidates, who you folks who are in groups, or you folks who just have the curiosity for this sort of thing, how you can best not manipulate the media, but by understanding how it works, use the media to your advantage, if you will. And there is no charge for this, but they would like you to RSVP as soon as possible. And you can do that by calling them at 407-721-5584. That's 407-721-5584. Now, that's at 12 to 4 p.m. Now, if you're feeling frisky when you get up Saturday morning, you can always go on over to Edgewater High School and try out for the Orlando Predators. That's right. They're going to have registration at 9 a.m.
If you're tough enough.
Tryouts at 10 a.m., and they do award positions on the team.
So that's right.
If you're out there and you played some high school ball or maybe some college ball and didn't get to the pros, maybe this is your way. Maybe you never played ball at all and you want to go out there and play some football.
You think you're good enough. That's right.
Hey, they're going to be videotaping the stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. So not only will you be able to try out, but you'll get some stuff, you know, to show that you were there. Let's just put it that way. Registration is $70. Pre-registration, $75 at the event. Registration there is at 9 a.m. If you want to pre-register, call the Predators office at 407-648-4444. That's 407-648-4444. And don't forget to roar when they answer the phone. Speaking of guys who roar as they enter the room, let's bring in our executive producer, Nasser Dennis. Hey, Nasser Dennis.
Sorry, no, that wasn't a roar at all.
I thought you might give us a little bark like P. Chan.
No.
Sounded like Mary Tyler Moore there.
P. Chan's my chihuahua that thinks he's a Doberman.
It is about the size of a Doberman's paw.
Probably kill a hamburger.
Hey, Nasser Dennis, your reaction from the speech last night real quick.
I'll tell you what, all I heard were snippets. I didn't hear it live because I had other important things to do.
Like a regular life.
Actually, we went out to one of the Disney parks. My daughter got us into a special presentation of a sneak peek at the Avatar exhibit they're going to be opening up in a couple of years. So
how was it?
You got old Nick all jealous in here of you.
It was very nice. In fact, I sent Nick a picture, I hope he got it, of the stage in the theater.
Yeah, he got it.
It was fun. It was a couple hundred people there and a couple hundred family members along with the cast members, and we got to meet the producer of Avatar, which was pretty cool, and the guy who's going to be in charge of construction. It was a fun night out. It was a lot of fun.
I'm surprised they didn't shut the entire park down for Barack's speech.
Well, no, they didn't.
They're smarter than that.
Oh.
Because a lot of people didn't see the speech, did they not? Well, first of all, your reaction to what you saw in the transcript.
Yeah, the little bits I saw and heard, and you know what? After hearing a couple of snippets, I realized I didn't even need to go to the transcript because, I don't know, you tell me, Chris, should I put together a list of the factual errors he got wrong in that speech? Because if I do, it's going to take Sunday night to cover them. We can't do all this in 1 hour.
I was going to say, it would take us the whole hour to just list them and go over it in generalities.
I mean,
there were so many.
even as basic as talking about the lack of upward mobility in America. And we talked about this the other night, that people in the lowest quintile, the bottom fifth, 8% of those people within a decade move up to the top fifth in terms of income.
That's right, and half of them move up substantially. Anyway.
And the people that he's talking about being in poverty are the people that have at least one, if not two, flat-screen TVs. They have cell phones. They usually have a car.
Poor here is better than middle class in most other nations.
Well, you have some ratings number. What did they look like?
Yeah, I do. And as you did correctly point out to Fox News, it is the president's sixth State of the Union address. Back in 2009 was his first one, was his biggest in terms of numbers. 52.4 million people tuned in to see that.
Right.
Since then it steadily slid down. 48, 42, 37, 33. And this one, if you count up broadcast networks and cable news networks, you know, exclude things like C-SPAN and C-SPAN 2 because they're very negligible, you come up with 30.2 million viewers, which is 10% less than last year.
10% less. So any idea what that percentage would be? We were talking about him getting down, dipping down into single digits. Last time was 11%. That sounds like for sure it would be 8 or 9%.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Looking at the shares, because that all depends how many people had their TVs on. We're looking at about 11 or 12% overall.
Well, that's what it was.
12 share.
Yeah. Last year.
Yep. About the same percentage, but numbers were down because there were less TVs in use, evidently. But nonetheless, it was, you know, less people tuning in to see the president is the bottom line. And it's no surprise. But in an odd sort of way, I think that's better for the president, given the prevarications and other loose playing with the truth. As I say, Nostradamus, the speech just stood in such stark contrast to what people are actually experiencing in their day-to-day lives.
Yeah, it really did. And, you know, if someone gets up who's new, who's fresh, who's idealistic, and says things that you're not sure if they're correct, you'd give them the benefit of doubt. But by the sixth time around, when he says things that you know in your life not to be true, all you can do is say, "You lie!"
You know, something that I noticed last night, too, that I hadn't noticed before, perhaps it was there, but I didn't notice it. And I went through all of the, with the exception of C-SPAN, I forgot to check them, but I went through, every now and then I'd go through all the channels to see if they're all using the same camera angle and that sort of thing. And I noticed that all but one or two, and they were NBC affiliates, showed enough of him and the speaker's chair and Vice President Biden. In other words, they were back wide enough a shot that you actually saw on the sides of your television set the teleprompters. Now, that is something that the networks have been loath to actually show in most of his speeches. You don't see the teleprompter. I mean, you see his head going back and forth.
Yeah.
It gave me a whole new appreciation, if you will, of how he uses the teleprompters.
Mm-hmm.
I always knew he was very good at it, but now you could see him actually looking at the teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting to see him do that.
I wonder if showing that live on TV is kind of a subliminal way for the networks to say,
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I'll bet this, too. I'll bet either he has marked or they have marked for him when he changes teleprompters, when he looks from this point and switches over to this point, that's marked in the script on the teleprompter. Yeah. I know I used to run teleprompter for news.
I was going
to
say that comes from a guy who's run teleprompters and read scripts. And so, absolutely. The whole thing, this is once again why I say politics is just like professional wrestling.
Oh, it's acting big time.
Nothing is left to, there's nothing is left out of, the plan. Nothing is left to chance, if you will. The whole, from the point he walked through that door, it was all for show.
He was a storyteller.
Until he was out of camera range. All right? That's all it was about. But in the end, that wears off. If you can't really deliver, all the bluster wears off. And that's what Barack Obama's experiencing. And, Nostradamus, you have some even more polls to demonstrate that, I think.
Oh, let's see. Let's go through my... Boy, Chris, you had me working on 9 stories at once today. Here it is.
Got you earning your supper tonight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I am going to get some nice Positano's food. Yeah, this story here out of Gallup polling, talking about each of the states in the union and how they are represented, either solid Democratic states, solid Republican, leaning towards Democrats, leaning towards Republicans, or competitive, meaning squarely in play. And right now, of the, states that are in play, blue states outnumbered red states, which is Democrat over Republican,
right,
but only 17 to 14. This is a striking difference from 2008, when 35 states were in the Democratic side, only 5 were in the Republican side, and 10 were toss-ups.
Yeah. So
17 Democrat, 14 Republican, and 19 states are toss-ups.
That's right. So, in other words, the Republicans are catching up. It's something that I was also watching last night that I found interesting, both when the president spoke and when Kathy McMorris Rogers spoke. And, by the way, I didn't see Senator Lee or Rand Paul give their presentation, so I don't know how they did. So I won't comment on them. But every now and then, and I did watch mostly Fox, but every now and then they would, at the bottom of the screen, they would have this thing crawl across that were showing you the people with the dials, what they were thinking about it.
Sure, the people leader thing. Fox does that all the time.
Right. And
the graph.
In both cases, both when the president spoke and when Kathy McMorris Rogers spoke, the independents and the Republicans were right together.
Right together.
Right together. Now, when the president spoke, they were all over the place. In other words, sometimes the Republicans and independents were up, sometimes down. Sometimes they were with the Democrats, sometimes not. The Democrats were up and down. They were all over the place. When Kathy McMorris Rogers spoke, both lines were basically flatlining, with the Republicans and independent about as high as they will go,
mm-hmm,
and the Democrats very low.
At the bottom.
At the bottom. And I thought, that can't be good news for Democrats. No, cannot be.
No, it really can't, because the independents, just like we see here, 17 of the 50 states are toss-up states. Same is true on an individual basis. More people out there, I think, are going to consider themselves going into the next election as undecided or as independent than they consider themselves Republican or Democrat.
And this is before we get a big flood of people losing their health insurance at the corporate level and in businesses. And, you know,
yeah. All right. Hey, Dennis, if you'll hold, we've got a couple of callers on the line I'd like to go to before the break, but stay with us. Let's go first to Rick. Thank you for calling, Rick. We appreciate
it, guys.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate you being out there.
Now, I didn't watch the show last night because I didn't want to have to replace my TV again. I did pick up a few things from the highlights.
By the way, first of all, I love the way you call it a show, but go ahead. Yeah, that's
the
all.
The Doug and Tony show. I mean, Pelosi and Kerry show.
Yeah.
But anyway, I picked up on a couple of things. Number one, I found out that the president is the only one that can pay women less than men.
And get away with it.
And I also found out that he's going to help our veterans with their health and mental issues by cutting their benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also found out that he's going to slash federal spending by eliminating Congress.
Yeah.
Replacing them with phone and pen.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. And that's just the beginning. That's just the start of it. I mean, as we said,
are just the things I picked up on the highlights.
Yeah, and you could basically, pretty much every sentence you could dissect that way. But thanks. Great work, Rick. We appreciate you being out there so much.
And remember, Congress gave him that power.
Right. By the way, another thing that I kind of like when they do these are the reaction shots.
Yeah.
Not just of the crowd, but when they would go do the close-ups, like John McCain, when they did the close-up of him, he looked like he'd had a couple. And then, of course, John Boehner was sitting back.
Boehner was just...
He looked like he wanted to have a couple.
Yeah.
Biden looked like he'd already checked out the medical marijuana. And so it was pretty... And Pelosi, oh, God, what a joke she is. All right, let's go to... Is it Larry?
Harry.
Okay, Harry, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, I heard the Congressman Lee do the Tea Party response, and he hit it out of the park. Offered a great list of things that they needed to do and had a plan to do on bills they'd introduced. And the Congresswoman lady from Washington did real good. However, she didn't offer anything.
No, she didn't.
She was great, but she just didn't. It was vanilla. And, of course, Obama, same old, nothing.
Right. Yeah, I think And once again, I didn't see Senator Lee's, but I appreciate your take on it.
It was only on the radio.
Yeah, okay.
I had to go to switch dials, and one of your competitors there in Orlando had it.
Curses. Oh, well, thank you for letting me know. But don't go away, because, yeah, in terms of McMorris Rogers, the congresswoman, it wasn't her job to present any details. Her job was to put a new face, if you will, on the Republican Party.
Well, she did good there.
And that's
however,
what,
the Republicans just need to have a plan, and they're not offering their plan.
Well, for right now, they need a new face, and you're absolutely right. They need the
new... They did good with the face, but they still have to have a plan.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And by the way, I don't agree with a lot of the analysts out there who say that the Republicans agree on everything, they just disagree on strategy. I think that there's actually some big disagreements within the party, and I think the Farm Bill demonstrates that. When we talk about it, I'll try to...
That's for sure.
Yeah, okay. Hey, thank you so much, Harry, for being out there. We appreciate it. Hope you can join us maybe at Cafe Positano Sunday. All right, let's go to Michael, and then we'll take the break after Michael. Okay, Nick, so just adjust the clock, please, accordingly. Michael, thank you for calling.
Hey, gentlemen, I got a different take on this, and I think it was pretty sad last night because we've got a vacuum of leadership here.
Oh, absolutely.
Or now analogy, all I saw was a bunch of cheerleading. We got some serious problems, and we need an offensive, defensive line, and we don't have it. We got cheerleaders, and they're just mouthing off stuff, and we got serious problems.
Yeah, you're absolutely
right. Vacuum of leadership, and it's sad.
Well, you're absolutely right about that, and that's why I say that that whole show went on last night stands in such stark contrast to reality. And any of the politicians in there, whichever side of the aisle they're on, if they don't understand that, they're going to rue the day. Because we are out here watching people like you. We are out here taking note. We are out here sad and disgusted by it.
Michael, can you tell me how government preschool is going to save our economy?
They're not going to save our economy. They need to be on vacation when our business is trying to save our economy.
Yeah, that's right.
Black holes. Listen, they could have said black holes would save our economy. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Listen, Michael, don't be too sad. Don't get too down because, hey, look, the Lord works in mysterious ways, and all of this is for a greater purpose and a greater good. There are greater days coming. You mark my words, my friend. I guarantee it. I bet everything I got everything I ever had on it.
I understand. We're a great nation. And we will rebound if government will get on the sideline.
Well, this is all – you have to understand, and this is something I wrote a paper on back when I was an undergraduate and studying constitutional law. And that is that – and our founding fathers spelled this out in different ways. Our whole form of government is an ongoing learning process. It's going to have these times. It's part of the process. Appreciate it for what it is. Be willing to bear it out. And thank God when the good days come rolling again. And they will.
And
let's
also,
all get a cell phone and a pen.
That's right.
An Obama phone and an Obama pen.
And to what Chris has said earlier, too.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, don't go away. Hold on. Larry,
I was just going to say, you know, as Chris has said before, too, that what we're seeing here, and this is the good side of it, now finally the whole country is seeing that the emperor has no clothes.
And that and that liberalism is nothing but empty promises. God bless you, Michael. Hang in there, man. And keep listening to the American Adversaries. Series. That's right. We'll keep you in the game. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we have more with Nostradamus.
World champion, and you're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Always a good thing, even if it's kind of a wintry, brisk, blustery, wintry day.
What a
bad day. That's a bad day. Bad day for the president last night. We have Nostradamus on the line right now. Dennis, I heard that there was a Democratic walkout.
Well, maybe. Who walked out?
Somebody walked out. I don't think it was the Duck Dynasty guy, was it?
No, he was there, though.
I saw that. He was the most popular one to get pictures with, they said.
No doubt.
Yeah, well, he was there. I didn't see him on TV, though. I don't know if they cut to him at all in the crowd. Do you, Chris?
I did not see him, no. No, they, of course, panned all the president's guests, but none of the other ones. Anyway.
There was a walkout last night from the State of the Union. It was not a Democrat, Larry. It was Representative Steve Stockman, congressman from Texas. And he basically, I was walking with him in spirit because here's what he was quoted in a press release. I could not bear to watch as the president continued to cross the clearly defined boundaries of the constitutional separation of powers. That's when he started talking about having a pen and not being afraid to use it. Stockman went on to say, needless to say, I am deeply disappointed in the tone and content of tonight's office. He says Obama is promising to break his oath of office and begin enacting his own brand of law through executive decree.
And all the Democrats stood up and cheered when he said it.
That's right.
All they were doing was signing their own, you know, death warrant when they do their political death warrant. You know, they're playing with nitroglycerin. This is not dynamite. This is nitro, which will go off in your face when you hiccup. I mean, this is not smart politics in my mind. This is a sign of desperation.
They're counting on the Republicans being the good guys when they take over and not doing that kind of stuff. Kind of like the good guy wrestler that doesn't poke the bad guy in the eye when the ref's not looking.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Absolutely. Okay, what you got? Senator Udall couldn't get his words straight, I guess.
Yeah, Senator Mark Udall was on CNN after the
Democrat
State of the Union. He's a Democrat. He's from Colorado. He's running for re-election in the Senate this coming year.
Yep.
And he was interviewed by Dana Bash from CNN, who asked him repeatedly whether he is going to expect the president to campaign with him or if he will be campaigning with the president side by side. He kept trying to deflect, saying, yeah, we're running a strong campaign, Colorado's interests, Colorado's way of life. And finally, she gave him one more chance and said, yes or no, is the president going to campaign with you? He said, we'll see what the schedule allows. I'm running for re-election, not the president of Colorado.
That's the long roundabout way of saying no.
And then a CNN reporter laughed in his face and said, I think that's our answer, Wolf.
I'll tell you, it's a new day. When you are so far away from reality, even the media can't deny it sometimes. By the way, I caught a little bit of Leno last night after it was all over. I needed a little bit of, you know, something to refresh me before I go to sleep. So I was watching Leno, and he's going, did you see how the Democrats were always standing up and cheering every time that President Obama said something? We found out why. He said they were threatened that if they didn't stand up and cheer at the appropriate time, President Obama would be making campaign appearances with them.
You know, when a Democratic incumbent senator from a state like Colorado is worried about being seen with the president, boy, they are running scared.
I tell you what.
Well, what about this guy, Grimm, this New York, is he a senator or whatever? That was kind of uncalled for, the Republican that was going to beat up the poor little reporter, guy half his size.
I didn't hear that story.
We're going to have to pick it up some other day because we are out of time. By the way, real quickly, Dr. Jonathan Matusitz is going to be speaking this Friday, 6:30, on suicide terrorism, its symbolic meanings, at the Health and Public Affairs Building, number 1, room 112. It's close to parking lot D. If you folks have been out there at UCF for his lectures before, this is the first one in the series, and we're going to have him on the show next month. But the first lecture of this series is this Friday, 6:30, Health and Human Public Affairs Building, parking D, suicide terrorism, its symbolic meanings. Thanks, Dennis.
That sounds so symbolic. You know where we're headed? We're headed to Cafe Positano, and don't forget Sunday night. If you want a great place to watch the Super Bowl, and maybe win a TV set and have all sorts of noshing and going on, go there. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow night.
Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer 20.